your Bibles this morning, I invite you to find Psalm 119. Psalm 119, pretty much in the middle of your Bible. Psalm 119. This morning I want to talk to you about God's Word. I want to talk to you about a sermon that I've entitled, Everything You Need. Because I truly believe this morning as we take time to focus our attention on God's Word and as we embark as a church on reading through God's Word, as we've done many times in this church, to mark different occasions, this year just to simply mark the beginning of the year, it's an opportunity for us to refocus ourselves on what the Word of God means. So over the next couple of weeks, what I'm going to do this week and next week is do two sermons based on God's Word and how impactful it can be to us if we'll take time to read it, if we'll take time to meditate on it and allow it to work in our lives just as God intended. The third Sunday, I'll do what I annually do, the annual State of the Church address, talk about things physically and spiritually that I see currently in our church and where I believe God has us headed. So I encourage you to be a part of that. The last Sunday of the month will be a Disciple Now weekend for our teenagers, and I've been asked to preach a message that will be related to their theme, and so it'll be applicable to all of us, but I'll specifically address our teenagers that weekend. And then in February, we'll tell you more about this in a couple of weeks, but we're going to be starting a new series together out of God's Word, and so I look forward to sharing with you more about that. Psalm 119. My prayer this morning is that you will see that this psalmist who wrote this wrote it truly as a personal testimony of what he had walked through. It's not just a chapter in the Bible, and I don't mean any disrespect to any other chapters, but some of you already know the history of this chapter. It's written in such a way that there are 176 verses, so it's the longest chapter in the Bible. So if you have lunch plans today, you might want to cancel those because we're going to be here for a while. No, we won't. But it is the longest chapter in the Bible, and that may be all that you know about it. Some of you know that it is also broken down or written by the psalmist in 22 different sections. Those are all based on the Hebrew alphabet. So for us in English, it doesn't really match up with what happens in Hebrew. But when he wrote it in Hebrew, he used the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet for what we classify as the first eight verses. Every line started with the same letter. So in the next section, he uses the second letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Verses 9 through 16, all of the lines begin with that second letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and so on through the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And so we're not going to focus on those things today, but what I do want you to focus on is that this is truly a testimony of the psalmist's trust in the Word of God. And it didn't come about just because somebody told him. It's come about because he has lived this. And we see in here in his personal testimony that he has been persecuted by people that the world says are important. He also has been challenged to give up his faith and trust in in God the Father. He knows the Messiah is coming, but he doesn't yet know about Jesus Christ because he's not lived that yet. But he had people try to make him give up his faith. He also went through much ridicule as you read this. He also went through much persecution as he read this. But instead of getting negative about the things of the world or even blaming God for the suffering and the challenges that he was walking through in his life, instead he found great strength from meditating on the Word of God. Now he didn't have a copy of Scripture like you and I do to carry around. He didn't have Google or other tools to be able to look up Scriptures. He had to know it. He didn't carry around scrolls with him. He had to memorize it. He had to hear it. He had to hold on to it. He had to think about it. It was not just readily available at his fingertips, but it mattered that much to him. And we see in these 176 verses his personal testimony of how important it was. And one of the things that we learn in here as he shares with us his heart about God's word is that the more time he spends in God's word, the more time he desires to spend in God's word, because he's learning so much about God, and thus he's learning about himself. No matter what version of the Bible you use, you see these different words. Maybe your version uses a little different, but you'll see law and word. You'll see commandments and saying and statute. You'll see judgment and precepts and testimony and way and path, all referring to the word of God. And then you see his responses to these. His responses to the word of God are delight and love and obey and meditate and renew and rejoice and preserve and serve. Nowhere in here do you see not gonna happen. Nowhere do you see too hard, God. Nowhere do you see rejection. But instead, you see him embracing God through his words. And in these 176 verses, we'll see over and over and over again, if you take the time to read all of it or study all of it, that God's word contains, according to the psalmist, everything that you and I need to know about God. God's word contains everything that you and I would ever need to know about God. Does that mean we'll understand everything in this lifetime? Not a chance. But his word that he has given us, not withheld from us, but that he has given us, tells us everything that we need to know about him, about the one that you and I are supposed to follow and serve. Join me in Psalm 119. We're going to look at just two sections today. We'll look at verses 1 through 8 first, and then we'll look at 9 through 16, and then I'll help you with the last 20 sections. Verse number 1 of Psalm 119, God's word says, "How blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. How blessed are those who observe his testimonies, who seek him with all their heart. They also do no unrighteousness, they walk in his ways. Thou hast ordained thy precepts, that we should keep them diligently. Oh, that my ways may be established to keep thy statutes. Then I shall not be ashamed when I look upon all thy commandments. I shall give thanks to thee with uprightness of heart when I learn thy righteous judgments. I shall keep thy statutes. Do not forsake me utterly." Again, this is his personal testimony of how God's word has impacted his life, and he starts this reflection with blessed. You and I usually think that we're blessed when we're happy, when God has answered our prayers, or when everything seems to be going right, when the sun is shining on us physically and emotionally. We feel like we're blessed when everything is going okay, but the word blessed literally means I'm on a straight path. Yes, it can mean being happy or being joyful, but it means that I'm walking on the path that God intends for me. The psalmist says here, blessed are those whose way is blameless. In other words, those who are innocent, those who are wholesome and complete. You and I can't be wholesome or complete without the blood of Jesus. The psalmist was having to be obedient to God. That's how he found righteousness. But then we come to the New Testament with Jesus Christ, and all we have to do to be found righteous is to be found in Christ. We have to believe and trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. He makes us right. We can't be made right on our own. Fortunately, we don't have to be only in obedience to him. Yes, he wants us to follow him, but you've got to start now that we know Jesus Christ is our Savior with him first. If you want to be found blameless, you've got to walk in his way, verse 1 says. You've got to walk in the law of the Lord. You've got to stay on that straight path that he has provided, and then you can be blessed, because then you are fulfilled, you are complete, you're following God's plan for your life. The psalmist is sharing what he's experienced, what he's walked through, what he has lived in verse 2. He says it again, "How blessed are those who observe his testimonies." When's the last time you listened to somebody tell you something that God did in their life and you actually paid attention to what they were saying? And then you took a hold of that and recognized and acknowledged that God is the one who worked in their life, that his word literally is active, that it is alive, that those who are sharing with you a testimony, as the psalmist says, that you're observing and you're learning God through that testimony. You may even learn something about God from the person who is sharing their testimony with you of something that God has done for them through his word. He says at the end of verse 2, those who seek him with all their heart. Are you seeking him with all of your heart or just part? Is it just on Sundays or is it every day? Is it when you need him or is it when things are going well? Are we seeking him with our whole heart? The psalmist in verse 3 says that we need to walk in his ways so that we will do no unrighteousness. We'll see again, he talks about this in the second section in just a moment. But he's challenging us to walk a life before him that is sinless, that you and I can't do on our own, but we can walk in his ways and be found righteous or in right standing because of Jesus, not because of us, but because of Jesus and what he does in and through us. And notice that you can't walk in his ways and also be unrighteous. If you're following him, then you're not also living in sin. You can't do both. If you're living in sin, then you are not walking according to the word of God. Let me say that again. If you are living in sin, you are not walking according to the word of God. The psalmist is clear about that. God's word is clear about that from beginning to end. Notice verse 4. He says, thou hast ordained thy precepts that we should keep them diligently. Do you realize that God's word is not a punishment? It's not restrictive. It's not something to keep you down. God's word is his love letter to you. It's him trying to protect you and help you. In verse 4, we see those precepts, his authoritative teachings are good. And even though you and I may recognize them as good and recognize them as his word, we still have an obligation and a responsibility, if we're going to follow God, to follow his teachings intently, not haphazardly. Verse 5, he reminds us that we must train ourselves to follow God's laws. Brooks, our two-year-old grandson, even as amazing as he is, nobody had to teach him to say no. That just came. Nobody had to teach him that. But you have to teach him to be appreciative. You have to teach him to do good things. So I'm constantly telling him, you're smart, you're good-looking, you're strong. I'm telling his sister the same thing, and I'm just pops. But I want them to know those things. I want them to be trained in those things. I want them to hear the truth. And that's what God does with us over and over and over again in his word. He tells us over and over and over again how good he is. And if we'll follow him, then we too can follow in his path for us. And we can live in that goodness. We can feel his love for us because of his word. But we've got to train ourselves to do that. The devil would love nothing more than we just go live in sin, do what we want to, and on occasion come back to God, ask him for some help, and then go back to the world and do what we want. The psalmist in verse 6 says that God's word is for our benefit, not for our shame. Now, you may feel convicted when you read something in Scripture, but that's on you. That's not on God. That's him trying to help you and show you that he loves you. Just like when you were a kid and your parents pointed out something you were doing wrong, you may feel bad about that in that moment. That wasn't your parents trying to shame you or make you feel bad. They're trying to correct you so you won't continue in that path. They want to help you because they love you. Verse 7, the psalmist says, God's word brings thankfulness when I learn it and I follow it with a committed heart. In verse 8, the psalmist says, we need to learn to promise to keep God's word because God will not leave us. We need to hold on to him. He is worth it in every single way. Go with me down to verse 9 through 16. I want you to see what he says in the second section. Starting in verse 9, the psalmist, God's word says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to thy word. With all my heart I have sought thee. Do not let me wander from thy commandments. Thy word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips I have told of all the ordinances of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on thy precepts and regard thy ways. I shall delight in thy statutes. I shall not forget thy word. The psalmist says here that in order for a young man, I think he addresses young men because young men are impulsive, but it really is true of all of us. We all are impulsive at times. In order to keep our way clean before God, we must follow his word. In order to keep our path straight, we must follow his word. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to God's word. If you don't know God's word, then you can't follow it. It's amazing how much we presume that we think we know because we've heard a phrase or we've heard a song or we've heard part of somebody's testimony or part of a scripture somewhere when we've never really spent time in the word. The psalmist has spent time studying and learning God's word. I can imagine that this is at a point in his life where maybe it's coming to the end of a year and beginning a new year and he's looking at opportunities. Or maybe it's towards the end of his life and he's reflecting on his life. Whatever the circumstance, for him to sit down and write this in this format, I believe he wrote it so he could remember it, make it easy, do all the first letter of the alphabet, then the second, then the third, fourth, on and on and on. But I think he did this as a personal testimony of how God's word had been at work in his life and how he had seen it in other people's lives. And he wanted to write that all down to be a reminder to him of what God was doing in his life through his word. Verse 10, he says, my heart is the key to following his truth. Man, is that not true? If your heart is in it and your whole being in it, if you and I could teach our kids and our grandkids to love God and love his word, we don't have to force them to come to church. We don't have to force them to do good things. If their heart is in it, then they desire to be a part of those things. And that doesn't just apply to kids. That applies to us as adults. If our heart is in it, then we're in it too. And the psalmist says here, the key for him to following the truth of God's word is that his heart is in it. In verse 11, he gives practical application of that. He says, I have treasured the word of God in my heart, and that keeps me from singing. Treasure means he hides it and appreciates it. How many of you learned the word of God with us through some of our memory verse challenges? Take, for instance, John 14, 1 through 6, and over the last couple of weeks, have you found yourself going back to, let not my heart be troubled? Believe in God, believe also in me. Do you know that applies to any and every circumstance, not just death? Have you thought about the fact that verse 6 reminds us that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through him? That is always applicable in life, anywhere and everywhere. But if we just learn something to rotely get it out, and it doesn't go to our heart where we treasure it, then it's not gonna make the same difference. Now, God's word is powerful, whether you just learn it to say it and be done with it, but if you think how powerful it is if you treasure it in your heart, like Mary did about the things that were said about her son, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Verse 12, the psalmist says he is worthy, God is worthy of us learning his ways. How true that is. He didn't have to give us his word, but he did. Verse 13, the psalmist says he speaks of God's judgments to others. Notice he doesn't say, I judge other people with God's word. I'm sharing God's words with other people. There's a complete difference between us judging somebody or us sharing with them what God's word says. Let God be the one who convicts and comforts and motivates and challenges through his word, not you. You're not the Holy Spirit. God is. Verse 14, the psalmist says, I rejoice in what he teaches us, and I find that the word of God is more valuable than all the riches. Can you say that? Will you say that? Verse 15, The psalmist says he meditates on the authoritative teachings, the precepts of God's word, and he's learning to walk in them day after day after day after day. Is that always easy? No, not if you're living in the world, not if you're living in sin. But if you're training yourself to walk the straight path that God has for us that is blessed, then it becomes easier and easier. And in verse 16, the psalmist reminds us that God's word causes us to delight in God's truth and to want more of it and more of it and more of it so we won't forget it. God's word has everything that you need. I'm going to share with you in just a quick summary the other 20 sections. I want you to hear the psalmist's heart on these things about God's word. You won't be able to write these things down. If you want the list, you can email me and I'll send it to you. But verses 17 through 24 says, he has wonderful things for us, God does. That's what his word reminds us of. In verses 25 through 32, the psalmist says that God gives us understanding of him through his word. Have you ever read God's word and recognized that he's telling us about him, about God? The psalmist does. Verses 33 through 40, he creates a desire for us to follow him even more. Again, if you and I are intent on spending time in his word, he will draw you to himself in a way you've never experienced before. Because it's him and it's not you. Through verse 48, he says he allows us to see the fact that God loves us through his word. Do you recognize that God loves you? Have you ever read his word and recognized and acknowledged that God loves you? He loves you. The psalmist recognized that. Through verse 56, he says that the word of God brings comfort in all difficulties and challenges. Instead of blaming God for your difficulties and your challenges, do you turn to him? He can provide you comfort through his word, even in the most difficult things of life. Through verse 64, God's word produces more obedience to God himself. Through verse 72, God's word teaches us the consequences for not following him. We don't like to think about that. We like to just pretend that we can do whatever we want to and God will just overlook our sin. Not true. God's word says there are consequences for not following him. Through verse 80, the psalmist says that God's word helps us wait on God's perfect timing and his truth. Are you waiting on something of God? Are you spending time in his word while you do that, or are you just waiting? Through verse 88, the psalmist reminds us that God's word is always faithful. Doesn't matter what you're going through or what generation is reading it. Through verse 96, we are reminded that the truth is established in God's word. You want to know what truth is? Read God's word. Through verse 104, the psalmist says that God's word is sweeter than honey. Have you ever felt that? Spending time in God's word, or do you see it as a drudgery? Do you see it as a time waster? Do you see it as something just to be added to your day? Or do you treasure it so much that you consider time in God's word as sweeter than honey? The psalmist did. Through verse 112, the psalmist says, God shows us his path for us through his word. Through verse 120, he protects and sustains us in difficulties. Verses 121 through 128, he upholds his own against those who are oppressing them. Psalm 119, verses 129 through 136, he keeps us from sin's dominion over us. Through verse 144, he shows us his righteousness. Through verse 152, he hears our cries and then he rescues us. Verse 160, the psalmist says he allows us to see God's word that it lasts forever. Through verse 168, that we can stand firm even when life is hard. And through verse 176, God's word connects us to the Heavenly Father. God's word is everything you need. But will you be intentional in reading it this year and spending time in it? Or will you come around to next year and go, man, I really wish I spent more time in God's word? He has everything that you need in this word. But will you open it and use it? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that your word is active and it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. But Father, if we just keep it closed in a cover, keep it on a shelf, even carry it with us on occasion, that does nothing to help us. But if we open it and we study it and we read it and we meditate on it and we hide it in our hearts and we follow it, we will know more and more and more about you, and thus we will know more and more about ourselves and your plan for us. Father, help us to be intentional this year in spending time in your word, the word of God. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.